This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. The New York Toy Fair ends today. It has been four spectacular days where, and here I quote, the newest and hottest products in the children's entertainment marketplace have been on display. More than 1,000 companies, including the biggies like Mattel and Hasbro, have been showing their wares. The trend, we should tell you, is old school. Think Light Bright and Spirograph. And then there are action figures, a growing segment for a much older demographic, as Eric Malinsky reports.
Forbidden Planet is a comic book store in New York. It sells high-end action figures, perfect likeness of the characters. Even some of the costumes are hand-sewn. Bernardo Silver is a loyal customer.
I bought the Superman from Man of Steel.
How much was that in Man of Steel?
$220.
$220 for a foot-tall replica of Superman. How many action figures does he own?
Difficult question, like
50?
Yeah.
So he spent over $11,000 on superheroes. The funny thing is, adults are rediscovering action figures just when kids are being lured away by digital games. And those fancy toys? They're sometimes handmade the old-fashioned way. Alex Hankey works for a company called NECA, where he sculpts on a big table full of wax and paint.
I'm working on the Heath Ledger Joker from The Dark Knight.
The company appeals to adults with nostalgia brands for movies like Alien, Predator, and Terminator. And it doesn't just sell at boutique comic book stores. Randy Falk is the director of product development.
There's one whole aisle now, and pretty much every Toys R Us that's for the adult collector or mature collector, where most of the toys are either labeled 17 and up or at the very least 14 and up.
NECA found success in the mid-range. 7-inch tall figures, about $18 a pop. And size matters because companies bid for the rights to sell characters of different sizes. Sideshow Collectibles in Los Angeles focuses on figures that are a foot tall or bigger. They cost anywhere from $200 to $700, and its warehouses can barely keep them in stock.
We're shipping approximately 600 packages a day. Your reaction is the same as everybody's when they come through here. It's like, what the?
Greg Anzalone runs the company. He started out making smaller, cheaper figures. Going high-end was a big risk.
We thought we could see the future a little bit, and we thought that if we made it, that we would find the fan base.
Two-thirds of its customers are now overseas, but catering to obsessive fans worldwide has a downside. Tom Gilliland is a creative director.
You know, there are fans who understand the way Darth Vader looks in an almost mathematical sort of a way, and if your math doesn't add up, it kind of breaks the fantasy or breaks the illusion for them.
Luckily, Sideshow employs artists like Earl Ellis. He used to make handmade special effects back when Hollywood needed them.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get out of that because it's pretty much a dying industry. Everything's digital. Like, I worked on Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes, and by the time they did the remake, the latest one, there's not a hair suit in it.
But there are only so many variations you can do on Darth Vader or Iron Man. That's why Sideshow Collectibles is developing its own original characters, another risk it hopes will pay off. In New York, I'm Eric Malinsky for Marketplace.